Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-620-8844. 800-620-8844. 800-620-8844.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The acting head of the U.S. Secret Service says the agency is shifting to use more technology in how it prepares for and secures campaign events for candidates. It follows the two assassination attempts against former President Trump. Secret Service Acting Director Ronald Rowe.
We're at a pivotal moment in the history of the Secret Service and at a pivotal moment in the history of our country. And I've directed that the Secret Service embark on a significant paradigm shift that will redefine how we conduct protective operations.
Rowe also says they've learned from the failures at July's Butler rally in Pennsylvania, including what he says is poor communication and planning to secure the site. Americans in three states began early in-person voting today, casting ballots in Virginia, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Israel's military says it killed a top Hezbollah leader today in targeted airstrikes in southern Lebanon. Israel says the Iran-backed militants were planning an attack on residents in northern Israel. This is ABC News. Venezuela's government rejecting a European Union vote, recognizing the country's opposition leader as the summer's election winner.
President Maduro mocking the non-binding European vote is akin to their backing a few years ago of the failed Western hopeful Juan Guaido. The vote in the European Parliament, 309 votes in favor of recognizing Edmundo Gonzalez as the Venezuelan president, against 201 opposed. Maduro characterized the EU vote as a clumsy, cowardly move made by individuals bereft of morals. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new record in space. Two Russians have now had the longest continuous stay on the International Space Station. Russia's space agencies say the pair broke the old record of 370 days, 21 hours, and 22 minutes, set last September by two other Russians and an American. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice sounding so legendary? Honey, and how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Vida, Jorge, let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
But floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. The latest AARP Wisconsin poll finds older voters are the most motivated to vote this November. Pollster Jeff List.
From 75% of voters 18 to 34 who were extremely motivated to 91% of voters 65 plus who were extremely motivated to vote. And not only is the motivation higher among those older age groups. Those older age groups are bigger.
Former President Donald Trump leads by 10 points with 50 to 64-year-olds, while Vice President Kamala Harris is ahead by 6 points with voters 65 and older. There's a similar breakdown in the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Tammy Baldwin and her Republican challenger, Eric Hovde. Wisconsin Teamsters endorse Vice President Harris.
The 1.3 million member International Brotherhood of Teamsters declined to endorse either Harris or Donald Trump. But Teamsters Joint Council 39 in Wisconsin is backing Harris.
We have the ability to make our own endorsements.
Council President Bill Carroll says some of the 15,000 Teamsters in Wisconsin do support Trump, but the Harris endorsement has a lot to do with the union's experience in Wisconsin. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Whooping cough cases are up significantly across Wisconsin.
Department of Health Services data shows numbers similar to pre-pandemic levels. As of September 13th, DHS had reports of 625 confirmed cases of whooping cough compared to just 51 in 2023. Since the start of the year, two-thirds of Wisconsin counties have reported at least one case. People can get whooping cough at any age, but those ages 11 to 18 make up nearly half of reported cases so far this year. DHS urges making sure you and your kids are up to date on the whooping cough vaccine and to take other steps to stay healthy. A list of vaccine requirements and guidelines can be found on the DHS website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny as we push into our last weekend of summer. Highs today will reach the low 80s and soar to the mid 80s tomorrow. Showers and storms move in Saturday night, soaking us at times on Sunday. As we flip the page to autumn, our temperatures fall to highs in the upper 60s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Corn slumped into the end of the week as the market caught up with early week losses in wheat futures. The soy complex was mixed after a week of basically go-nowhere trade. The cattle complex was higher at the end of a strong week, and hogs consolidated today after early week gains.
Live from the final Summertime Friday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a chat with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
You didn't feel the emotional damage that you did to me this morning when you mentioned that today was the final Friday of summer?
I'm going to be honest with you. I did, and I kind of liked it.
So and you came after it again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can respect that.
You're a victim here, and you didn't do anything wrong. It's me. It's not you. It's me.
Hey, well, yeah,
I'm not lying. Last Friday is summertime, everybody. If you're going to get that sunburn, you better hurry. Yeah. It may be too late.
It's too late.
It's too late?
It's too late? Big Apple Joe.
In South Bend, we had rain today. I couldn't.
What?
It got dark outside. I'm like, what's going on? And
yeah,
I haven't seen this in like 7 weeks.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it was. No, it's not. Let's just put it this way. The roads looked wet. There was some rain. You heard it on the roof. I wouldn't say we got like a quarter of an inch.
Yeah. Well, the rain that we had yesterday down in Ames on the beautiful campus of Iowa State University, it freaked me out a little bit. I didn't know exactly what was going on either. You know, it's and that was a rain.
I got a theory. I think it's condensation dripping off Chinese spy balloons. No, they're dripping off the spy balloons. It's not really rain. I mean, it is moisture, and we'll take it.
Hey, speaking of Iowa State.
Yes.
I believe College Roadshow continues this afternoon.
Yes. Absolutely, it does. We're going to be talking land values at the end of the show today. Looking forward to that conversation. And but before that, we've got, as Davis said, Kurt Kimmel coming up here from agmarket.net. We've got a lot to cover there. Hey, dude, it's a report day. It's a report day.
Yes.
Cattle on feed report was just released. Total inventory on September 1, up 0.64%. The trade was expecting a 0.9% increase. Placements in August down 1.4%. Trade was looking for a 1% decline. Marketings in August down 3.55%. Trade was looking for down 3.4%.
Right.
Not enough difference in any of those numbers to call it bullish or bearish, but man, oh man, the cattle market really finished strong heading into the end of the week. Some solid gains in that in the cattle complex today. All right, man, should we get started? Yeah. What do you got in the markets?
Well, wheat futures did not stray far from unchanged today. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly higher, but near session lows rallied to test resistance at yesterday's high and then fell back to a low range close. Today was the second consecutive day front month SRW futures failed to trade on the top side of 580. That turns that pivot point into the first level of resistance. Strength in the U.S. dollar also limited buying interest in wheat today, as did the forecast calling for some showers in U.S. winter wheat areas. Support for wheat prices was the result of lower European wheat crop estimates. December HRW wheat futures today, a half penny lower, 564. December SRW wheat up 3 cents, 568 1/2. December spring wheat closed at 608. That's up 0.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, I checked and double checked these weekly changes in here because they're pretty dramatic compared to what we saw in corn and soybeans. December SRW wheat futures down 26 1/4 cents.
Oof.
December HRW wheat futures down 36 cents, and December spring wheat futures down 27.5 cents this week. So put a little bit of rain into the forecast for the winter wheat country, hard red winter wheat country, and it really weighed on those KC futures.
Well, Chip, corn traders are looking for details of how the corn crop handled late season stress, with the eastern corn belt expected to see a pattern change to more rainfall next week. Traders are also watching weather developments in Brazil, where the extended dry season is delaying soybean plantings, and that threatens to reduce winter corn acreage in Brazil for the 2025 harvest. Export demand was quiet for corn this week, although many traditional importers are looking to cover needs, with December futures close to $4. December corn opened fractionally higher and tried to push to the upside, but the drop through support at yesterday's low accelerated selling. December corn closed near session lows, the lowest level since August 30. December corn futures 4 cents lower at 401 3/4. March corn down 4 1/4 to 420, dude. July corn futures closed at 437 3/4, down 4 1/4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, a lot of conversation this week about did we take the top end off the corn yields because of some of the late season stress. And they sure talked about it, but it didn't have much impact on trade. December corn this week down 4.5 cents. March corn down 4.5 cents on the week.
Well, Chip, product spreading was again featured in the soy complex, with soybean meal futures modestly lower and bean oil closing with moderate gains. That left bean prices nearly unchanged on the close, although November beans did post an outside trading day with a close just slightly above the opening range. That suggests increasing volatility in bean trade. And the longer November beans trade between $10 and $10.25, the tighter the spring is coiling. USDA this morning announced the sale of 121,000 metric tons of U.S. beans to China for the delivery in the current marketing year. But traders also note that Brazil captured nearly 85% of China's bean import buys in August, and competition from Brazil likely to carry in to the new U.S. crop supply. November beans 1 1/4 cents lower, 10.12. Jan beans down 1 3/4, 10.29 1/2. March beans 10.43 3/4 at the close. That's down 1.5 cents, Chip.
Yeah, let's see. Looking at November soybean futures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 consecutive closes between 10 and 10.25. All right. And if you, it looks like 15 out of the last 16 days, trading days, we've closed between 10 and 10.25. This is about as sideways as the market gets. We need to keep that in mind. So the spring is coiling very tight. You mentioned the product spreading on the week. December bean oil up 243 points. December soybean meal down $3.70. So the long oil, short meal spread was popular this week. November soybeans this week up just 5¾ cents. March beans up just 4¾ cents.
Well, Chip, December cotton futures spiked resistance at the July 2nd high and closed at the highest level since June 27. December cotton today, 49 points higher at 73.52. A short hop to a big move there, Chip.
Yeah, and up 370 points on the week in December futures.
Yeah. Well, heavyweight choice graded box beef values climbed back on top of the pivotal $300 level. That helped support live cattle futures as traders awaited the monthly cattle on feed report. October fats 250 higher today, 182.47 and a half. October feeders 12.5 cents higher, 243.90. And on the snout side, volatility is drained out of lean hog futures with a very narrow trading range the second half of this week as October futures try to climb through resistance at 82.50. October hogs today 2.5 cents lower, 82.22 and a half. Chip.
All right, on the week, October live cattle up $4.82 and a half. October feeder cattle up $4.77 and a half, and October lean hogs up $3.77 and a half. Again, those cattle on feed report numbers, inventory on September 1 up 0.64%, placements in August down 1.4%, marketing's down 3.55%, all pretty much in line with trade expectations. Kirk Kimmel next here on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com. Apologies to Bex. I didn't mean to step on my own little liner there, but Karen! Karen!
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. I'm glad that you are joining us on this Friday afternoon, and we are super glad to have Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net with us. Kurt, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing good, Chip. Sorry I missed your meeting here in Bloomington this summer. I was on a business trip. Seems I've had trouble trying to catch that one.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can make it next year. But
you bet.
Nope, doing good. Doing good.
Yeah,
that crop tour
meeting over there in Bloomington keeps getting bigger and bigger. So Brian does a great job over there, and I know it's something that people look forward to over there. What are you hearing, Kurt? Are guys? I know guys are starting to take crops out of the field. What are you hearing?
Well, you need to have the crew come back and visit our area north and northeast of us a little bit. A little disappointing. We just ran out of moisture for the most part, and we're starting to see these early yields come in anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 bushels below last year. I mean, it's not disastrous. It's not going to be a market maker for the most part, but we're seeing a situation where they're disappointed.
Kurt, below a year ago, after the growing season that we had and the expectations that are built into this market, 10 to 15 bushels below a year ago is a disaster.
For us.
Yeah.
If it's not 250 bushels plus, yes, it's a thorn in the side. But they're coming in 200 to 225 comparable to a year ago in the 105-day corn, 218 to 254. So, yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a concern for these guys. I had a few guys go into some little later stuff here this week, and they're feeling a little bit better on it. But as far as when you look at the drought monitor and so forth, I mean, it's starting to show some signs, particularly in our area where this is actually good black ground, as you know, and to see that happen is a little discouraging. The big thing on beans, there's some decent beans earlier, and later beans might be a little bit of a concern, but as you probably already know, there's bean moisture-wise down below 7%. So these beans have just gotten away from everybody. Even though they have some leaves on them, they're a lot drier. We saw here in the last 2 days, guys just drop the corn heads and go after the beans. So there's going to be a big push on beans here over the next week.
Yeah. If they're down to 7%, you're leaving a lot of yield on the table. There's no question about that. And it's time to get out there and get them. What's the sample size on these comments, Kurt? How much has been done over there?
It varies from area to area. You know, there's a thought process is a lot different, you know, as we know, but I'd say if you go straight east, eastern part of Illinois into Indiana, we probably will have 20-25% of the beans out in that particular area. They had some early stuff they went after. They've been doing beans for 2 weeks. You take Crawfordsville up north to Lafayette, there's a big chunk in there. It's going to be out, but for the most part, we're talking 10 to 15% being taken out. And it, you know, if this weather stays the way it is, it won't be long, because it's amazing how guys can cover a lot of ground in a hurry anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially when they get into the beans and just decide to go and focus on that. That bean crop can come out in a hurry, no doubt. What's it doing to your market over there, the local market?
Well, it's been actually kind of steady. This basis backed off slightly, but you take Decatur to south of us here in Illinois. They've actually had to shut down a little early. They continue to have some old crop coming in, plus this new crop coming in. But there's concern that it could widen out further. But I don't know about that, because what we're seeing is there was a spot where they've actually increased basis a little bit, trying to shake some grain loose here. Guys are sold some across the scale, but there's a groups, you know, that's going to hang on to it in through here. So this basis is going to be widely variable across the whole in Midwest, I think. But for the most part, the mindset is that, you know, if you can get a fairly good bid, to go ahead and take it here, Chip.
Okay. All right. Let's talk broader markets now. Get out of your local market here for a bit, Kurt. What is the number one thing that's behind this I don't know, go nowhere market in the soy complex this week?
Yeah, that's a good question. You did a great observation there on the sideways price move. I believe you had Brian Split, our top technical guy with the company, on here, and he's been watching that fairly closely. And we're consolidating, so whether or not we break out to the upside or downside, we're fixing to find out here as we, you know, kind of approach end of the month, end of the quarter here, if the market makes up its mind. The big test will be this coming week, see if we see some hedge pressure come in. But fundamentally, the concerns about the big carryout, 500 million bushels plus, is huge. And we've seen those numbers in the past, but a lot of those numbers have been pre-growing season estimates. As we went the growing season and the crop was a little smaller and demand picked up, we shrank down to much lower levels. I think the Sparks and Former Group was pretty popular for about two or 3 years putting those numbers out. But it's just weather didn't ding the bean crop too much. That's a concern. And the idea is that the bean could have some overhead resistance with that big of a carryout. And also, too, we're seeing a situation where demand can be a question. So that's keeping a lid on it. But yet, we're seeing a little bit of pricing underneath the market to give us support. We had China come in and buy some beans. They're buying small lot beans. We kind of feel that could continue here. So it was kind of caught between a large crop hedge pressure and some demand underneath the marketplace. Yeah. One thing, just listening to the commercial side of the company, coming into this fall, the producers 10-15% price maybe as a whole, just the big picture. Well, on the other side of that is the end users only 10-15% bought. So we're going to play cat and mouse and zig and zag here. As the producer plays catch up on the sell side, the commercial is going to have to play catch up here on the buy side.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned the export sales. We've seen some scattered soybean sales announcements here. And those bean sales in the weekend, and what was it, September 12th, really good at nearly 1.75 million metric tons. When I saw that number yesterday morning, I'll be honest with you, Kurt, I thought, oh boy, here we go. We're going to get that close above 10 and a quarter. Look out. And the market just kind of shrugged it off. I don't know why.
Yeah, I would think if we weren't in the midst of harvest, we would have had a little bit more giddy up on that type of news. But the puzzling part is how that gets so large when the daily reporting system, you know, we're not seeing sales much more than 136,000 tons. So
I'm with you.
It seems like we're slipping under the radar, and all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, surprise. But Asia, they have just recently started being consistent buyers. That was a big news item here this last spring and early summer, that where's China at? They're not in the marketplace. Now they're having to go ahead and get some stuff on the books from the standpoint that they're going to run out of time. It's the logistics. The boats are moving to the northern hemisphere, and so they need to buy what they need from the northern hemisphere before they shift back to the southern hemisphere. So it's a logistics situation. But we've got to remember one thing with China. I think they're looking at the U.S. as a storage facility now. I think they're just going to continue to buy what they need from us hand and mouth once they get what they need booked. And what I mean by that is, if you go back, I don't know when it was, the Chinese premier and Putin was pictured in a magazine, and they were having a little cocktail together. So China's been developing a relationship with Putin. China has been developing a relationship with the Southern Hemisphere. And what I mean by that, China has a vested interest in the Southern Hemisphere. They have financial interest in that Southern Hemisphere. So they're going to buy from the Southern Hemisphere as much as they need. Then they'll come to the U.S. as second place to fill in the holes in through there. So it's kind of interesting to see how this whole market, international market, is unfolding.
Yeah, and you know, this is a something that I've been watching happen, and it's developing. But they've made that in they've made that investment in South America. They go to South America to buy those beans first. They come to the U.S. second. Well, now they're making an investment in Africa. And it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts the U.S. status on their on the priority list for where China's going to be buying. We got a lot more to cover. South America, that's next on the list with Kirk Kimmel.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were a half penny lower at 564. December SRW wheat up 3 cents to 568 and one half. December corn futures were 4 cents lower at 401 and three quarters. March corn down 4¼ cents to 420. November soybean futures were 1¼ cents lower at 1012. January beans down 1¾ cents to 1029 and one half. December cotton today, 49 points higher, 73.52. On your livestock, October fat cattle, $2.50 higher, 182.47 and one half. October feeders, 12½ cents higher, 243.90. And October hogs today, 2½ cents lower, 82.22 and one half. You can get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Experience all things electric during the 4th annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny as we push into our last weekend of summer. Highs today will reach the low 80s and soar to the mid 80s tomorrow. Showers and storms move in Saturday night, soaking us at times on Sunday. As we flip the page to autumn, our temperatures fall to highs in the upper 60s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you.
Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net. Kurt, we talked quite a bit about what's going on in the soybean market. We got the spring coiling up in November beans. I counted it up. It's 14 out of the last 15 sessions. We have closed between 10 and 10 and a quarter. I mean, it's a pretty impressive string right there. What kind of role is the North American weather situation playing in that and in keeping this market sideways?
Well, as far as North American weather goes, being dry is bringing the bean crop on quicker or faster and okay. through here. So that's going to keep some hedge pressure on it. So weather-wise, that's about the only thing we can talk about now is how fast the crop comes out. But right. we're so dry in some areas, we could use 3-4 inches. I know the weather can flip pretty quick here later right. on, so the urgency is to get the crop out here in a timely fashion.
Right, right.
As long as we got a spot to dump it.
Yeah, as long as we got a spot to put it. Now let's talk about the continent that I meant to say, because I know I said North America. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's not right. South America. What's going on down in South America? How much of an impact is that having on trade now?
Well, for guys that haven't sold a whole lot, need to make some sales, it's very bullish. It's dry. So we're trying to use that news to get the market going here. South America is directly, you know, almost 6 months opposite. And when we're harvesting, they're getting ready to plant and vice versa. So they're starting to enter their growing season. There's always optimistic on a lot of acreage or hectares down in that region. Mm-hmm. And how I view it is we're typically in the dry zone anyway. The moisture really doesn't start to materialize until we get later on in October and November. So it's a matter of whether or not the faucet's turned on or not. It's going to be a weather play. That's going to be the primary news here as we go into this fall and this winter. So your North American weather guys are going to start focusing on that southern part, because it's a matter of getting the crop in, whether there's some acreage switches or not. But every year it seems like we always have high expectations for the southern hemisphere, and it seems just about every year here lately we've seen some weather concerns early in the growing season before the crop gets in. So it's in the hands of the weatherman, and you got to be kind of careful, because we're in a situation where here in the U.S., we're hot and dry until the 4th of July. Then July 5th, we get a rain. So if they would get a rain, we'll lose our enthusiasm, because that's the great hope here. They have a shorter crop. Now, we need to keep an eye on that, because it's helping the deferred contracts. And what I mean by that, if you look at the July beans, they're close to 1070. Yep. Well, our local bean bid here is 960. So right. You know, if a guy's got a bin, I think you'd throw those beans in a bin and hedge that deferred contract and let the two come together there, Chip.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the structure of the market and the carry that's in both the corn and soybeans, and what guys should be thinking about there. Beans in the bin or corn in the bin, Kurt? How do you make the decision?
That's the great time of the year. Should I store or should I sell? Yeah. Which one should I store? Guys, the like last year, we're seeing the same mindset to go ahead and move the beans and sell the corn. I think there's a lot of fear in the beans, particularly if you know, the demand doesn't pick up much more. And if we don't see these three plants get online here later here in the fourth quarter on the oil side of the equation. So there's a little fear in the beans. Guys been moving beans and wanting to store the corn. What we've done, whether you move one and keep the other, the one you move, you know, don't take a big hit on basis. You know, push the pencil on it. Be careful jumping into a huge DP situation. I've heard some big time DP stuff. Yeah. Basis wise, I'd be kind of cautious there. Basically, why go a basis? Well, it's probably convenience, but you're better off if you're on top of to sell the cash grain, get your money, get 100% of your money, and then re-own it, versus, you know, doing a basis contract and only getting 70% of your money, then watch the basis narrow up on you. So there's a lot of choices. You just got to sit down and kind of pencil it out and see what's best for your situation. What's best for you is not going to be best for the neighbor. So you got to kind of, but I think you got to stay in the game in through here. The ag market team recommended these November beans at 10-15 or higher to go ahead and try to price some. If the basis isn't too wide, then come back in and do a replacement strategy going into year end. Not a long-term replacement, but try to capture that seasonal up. You got to stay flexible, I think, is the best way to explain it there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Now, when we talked, you were talking about the deferred price contracts, the DPs. What people need to understand is if you get into a DP contract, you've done nothing to capture the carry. Nothing. Now, you've given yourself the opportunity if the spot market moves to the prices that are indicated by futures there out at the March at 10:43. Okay, well, that's going to give you an opportunity to capture the carry, but you have to set the price. But if you're taking a DP thinking that that is capturing that deferred price that's out there, those deferred contract prices, you're wrong. You're not capturing it. You've still got the potential to capture it, but you haven't done anything to get it yet.
Well, correct. Well said. Yeah, you got to study that, understand that, and what happens on the other side, the person that working with you on this, what does he do with the grain? So have a full picture of how the whole process works. And the other thing also is, okay, we talk about storing it. Well, you got to do something with it. If it's in storage or in the bin, you just can't let it sit there and not have some type of risk management program. Even though people are optimistic, does not necessarily mean there's going to be a big payoff there.
No, that is exactly right. You've got to be active with your marketing, and I love the flexibility comment. I love that. I try to talk about it and enforce that reinforce that in marketers' minds all the time. You've got to have the flexibility going forward. Let's talk a little bit about wheat, Kurt. Anything going on in that wheat market that's going to have an impact on corn and soybeans, or what are you thinking on wheat?
Well, on the wheat, I got to change the subject a little bit. These double crop beans have taken a big hit. They're really worried about moisture on here in the east on these wheat beans. So we'll see how those unfold there. But wheat-wise, when you look at the big world picture, the coarse grain supply-demand balance sheet is much tighter than the soybean sector there. Even, you know, reports of Ukraine, corn crop being down. So this coarse grain picture could be optimistic. The main thing on the wheat is Russia keeps pushing wheat out on the world market. They'll continue to do that to finance the war. So we're going to have a lot of zigging and zagging around the world on wheat. But here in the U.S., basically, as you mentioned, at the top of the program here, rain out west has given some relief there to get the wheat crop going. Here in the east, guys are actually kind of interested in putting some wheat in. I don't think we're going to see a large amount of acres, okay, but if the weather cooperates, I think we're going to see that movement to go ahead and see a decent amount of soft red winter wheat going in the east here.
That's where I wanted to get to right there, Kurt, because it does seem like just the conversations that I've tried to be a part of here outside of the show, there seems to be more and more interest in double cropping the SRW again. When it comes time to make the decision on if you're going to seed it or not, this is the time to have the conversation. And it looks like they're going to jump in and do some wheat.
Financially, that's been huge. You take Southern Illinois, Indiana there, where you have a little bit more of a time window to work with. You know, when you start looking at the inputs on corn and where the price of corn is today, you know, you look at the inputs on the bean wheat and the returns there, I think that's going to be looked at real close there.
Okay. All right. Only about a minute left here, Kurt. And I just want to, what are you watching most closely over the next 30 days?
Oh, geez. I talk to so many different people. I'm to the far left and to the far right and through here. But something a little bit different we're kind of watching is the meat sector, the cattle particularly. It seems like half the crowd's bullish and half the crowd's bearish. And there's nobody in between in through there. But those December fats closed above 182 today. So I think there's some optimism. We dodged the cattle and feed reports, seeing any real negative news there, but herd rebuilding and hopefully be some profitability. But what I'm trying to get to is feeders. We'll see if the old tradition works here. You know, we're going to have some lower corn prices here. Feeders should be supported here as we move forward. And two on the meat sector, one last point is the economy, U.S. stock market. It seems like whenever the Dow is up, the meat sector's up and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, Kurt. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Enjoyed it. Take care.
All right. Kurt Kimmel, agmarket.net. We are headed back to Ames for the College Roadshow. Conversation on land prices with Rebail Shandio coming up next.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-9047. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-9047. That's 800-575-9047. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its head-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They're engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit FirestoneAg.com.
Thank you.
Looking for the best ag knowledge from top-notch industry experts? Join me, Mike Howell, on The Dirt, an economics podcast. From nutrient management to the latest weather, market, and ag trends, The Dirt is your place for farm smart topics to boost your profitability. Get ready to dig into Season 3 of The Dirt Podcast.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
We are on the College Roadshow on the beautiful campus at Iowa State University, having a conversation with Rebel Shandio. She is an assistant professor in the Department of Economics here at Iowa State, focused on land values. And Rebel, tough economic times. Are they being reflected in land values at this point?
I would say we are beginning to see how they are getting reflected in the land values. Last year in December, that's when the Iowa State Land Value Survey report comes out, we saw a 3.7% in the statewide land values for Iowa. But if you break it down a little further, we saw 12 out of all of our states actually saw slight decreases in land values. So we had begun to see that direction, but all of those decreases amounted to 1%, 2%, or even much smaller than that in most cases. So we did start to see that tough economic times, slightly tighter farm incomes cropping up into the land markets as well. And this year, we have had some other sources come up with their land value estimates already. And the Realtors Land Institute, their report shows that currently land markets are experiencing about a 3% decline in value. The Ag Letter, that's the Chicago Fed survey, they're showing about a 2 to 3% decrease as well. So I expect when we do our Iowa State land value survey this November, we would probably see something similar. We would see a slight overall decrease in land values, but there would still be some heterogeneity in where that's coming from. So most of the southern counties, which are supported a lot by the recreational demand for recreational ground, the hunting ground, may not experience that decline in land values that's coming from the farm economy. But some of the northern states, some of the northern counties, a northern part of the state, that is probably where we'll see that the falling net incomes, the high costs, they're really going to play their role in tightening the land market.
Okay. But it doesn't sound like you're looking for anything outside of what would, I don't know, would we call it a typical setback in land prices, kind of a cyclical thing?
Yes, I would definitely say so. We had really, really high land values in 2021, 2022, and those kind of increases are not sustainable. And that's true for most aspects of the economy. Land is no exception to that. When we have the 17%, the 22% increase in land values, a 3% decrease is not even a minor setback. It's a slight adjustment to what the very high land values we saw. The $25,000 an acre sale, the $28,000 an acre sale, that's an anomaly. That's not the routine that we want to sustain in the market. So I would say this year, maybe the year ahead of us as well, we'll probably see those minor adjustments take place. And that's pretty routine and pretty expected after the highs we experienced.
Yeah. Who's showing up and who's creating the competition for this ground?
There's not as much competition as we think there is. Most of the buyers of farmland are existing farmers. They have been existing farmers for a long time, and 75% of the activity in land market is still explained by them. The remaining quarter is categorized as investors, but mind you, those investors are out-of-state Iowa residents who probably summer in California and Florida, and they're no longer full-time residents of the state, and they show up in our surveys as investors, but they're still most likely retired farmers. They are people who are connected with Iowa, or they were connected with Iowa at one point in time. So those form up most of the investor category.
Okay. There's bills being written in Congress to prevent foreign ownership. It's a big deal. People are making it a big deal. How big of a deal is foreign ownership of ground here in the state?
Well, sorry to disappoint you there, but foreign ownership or foreign interest in U.S. or Midwest or Iowa farmland is not at all a big category. In 2021, that's the latest year of the data we have, foreign interest in Iowa land amounted to 1.6% of all Iowa farmland. About half of that comes from leased land and half of that comes from owned land. And when we're thinking about leases, most of those are these energy-based leases. These are the wind farms you see when you drive around. And those companies have a significant foreign interest or foreign ownership. Those companies are not primarily foreign companies anyway. Part of their ownership has some foreign component, which is required to be reported. So even with those, if you consider the percentage that is going back to some other country or that is owned by some foreign country, it will be smaller than the 1.68%.
Yeah, it's the location that people worry about, too. And for the most part in the state of Iowa, I don't think there's anything that's owned by a foreign entity that's in one of those sensitive areas, is there?
No, not at all. Not at all for Iowa. And I would also say for a state like Nevada, they have a very small amount, relatively much smaller amount of public land because it has some significance for those military purposes.
Yeah.
So that land is not up in the market for any private buyers, local or foreign. So when there are sensitive situations like this, one, there are some controls like which land is up for public purchase in the market. Second, the state always has the control to revert a sale that may have happened, that may have caused some concern. So even if there may be some activity that we are afraid will impact us negatively, there are always ways to protect the interest of the state.
Exactly. All right. Rebel, the Fed cut interest rates earlier this week. How long before that might start to show up in the value of Iowa farmland?
So interest rates are an interesting factor. That's because each year's interest rate hike or decrease takes a few more years to be fully absorbed in the land markets. So right now in 2024, we are still bearing the impacts of the hikes that happened after the pandemic, the lows that we experienced during the pandemic, all those 5 to 6 years of interest rate changes are still having their effects on land prices today. So with that said, this 0.5% decrease that we saw yesesterday or the Fed is announcing a few more decreases in later this year as well, all of those will take some time to be fully reflected in the land markets. We'll still more largely feel the effects of the hikes that we saw in this year, in this last quarter. And it's next year, probably the first couple of quarters, when we'll start to see the positive impact or the downward pressure on land prices from the cuts we are seeing just now.
Excellent, Rebel. We got a big game this weekend. Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.
All right. That is Rebel Ashandio. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Economics here at Iowa State University. Big thank you to Bex for making the College Roadshow possible. Be sure to check out U.S. Farm Report this weekend. Tyne Morgan will have full coverage from Iowa State University. Come back on Monday morning. We're going to have conversation with Machinery Pete right here on AgriTalk.
At BEX, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. BEX, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BEXHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up.